In the book of John, you don't have to turn to it, but just listen. You can if you want to. It's 1 John. I'd like to share a brief word with us this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. Through who? Through the Word. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. And then down in verse 14, this scripture is clearly talking about Jesus Christ being with God in the beginning, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son, He's the Word. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word, capital W. God was so passionate about communication with us, because communication is the outflow of relationship. And He's so passionate about an eternal relationship with you and me, with His people, that He sent His very voice to break 400 years of silence between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John writes, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Say this after me. God, thank You that You have called me into an eternal adventure of intimacy with Christ. Because ultimately that's what life is about. An eternal love relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through Jesus, and a love relationship with everybody else, with His family. Even Jesus said, love your enemies. He did that to prove to us that we couldn't please God in our own strength. So why try? Why not yield to the life and the love of God in us? So we've established that the Word is Jesus Christ and was in the beginning with God. Now let's go back to the very beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness. Some translations say chaos, barrenness, nothingness, emptiness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered, brooded, waited over the darkness. Waiting for what? Waiting for God the Father to send the Word, Jesus Christ. And God said, let there be light. The Spirit of God took the Word of God, applied it to the darkness, and there was light. In the first two or three verses of the whole Bible, we see the cooperation of the Trinity, Father, Spirit, and Son. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God hovers over your chaos, hovers over the barrenness in our lives, the emptiness in our lives, waiting for what? Waiting for the Father to send the Word. And in fact, the Word has already been sent. His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the one who gives beauty for ashes. He gets glory out of dust. Makes a garment of praise out of the armor of rust. You feel like you got rusty armor on sometimes. You've been hurt and you defend yourself against pain. One time Reed and I were going through a tough time in our relationship. It was all my fault. And thank you, sweetheart. You're great. Always unpredictable. Keep it up. Anyway, meanwhile, back in the spirit, just kidding, baby. And we had gone through some things, just like most of you of any age at all have gone through some difficulties. Maybe you've been hurt by a leader in the church or a friend or a parent, or the fact that you didn't have parents, or betrayed by a spouse, or any number of difficult circumstances. Well, I had been hurt by leadership, and I realized when the Lord spoke to me, though, one day, driving down the road, He said, David, in your desire to protect yourself from pain, I mean, I hate pain, okay? I don't like it. But the Lord said, in your desire to protect yourself from pain, you have protected yourself from me. And in order to enjoy the beauty of the sunrise, you have to go through the dark night. And we were driving in the van. Rita was driving, as a matter of fact. And I just had a little conversation with the Lord. And so I felt like George Bailey at the end of It's a Wonderful Life. I said, God, it doesn't matter that I lost $8,000 from the bank, if you remember the movie, and that they have a warrant for my arrest. In other words, it doesn't matter the difficulties that I've had or that might be ahead. I want to live again. I want to live again because the sunrise is worth it. The joy on my children's faces are worth it. Working into a place of intimacy with Rita is worth it. Being used of God to share encouragement is worth it. And you know, he promised us, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above which you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. God is faithful. So God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and trees and fruit, and it happened. And God spoke and said, let the waters be divided properly. God spoke and it was done. He said, let there be a sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. He spoke and it was done. God spoke and it was done. God spoke and it was done. There is creative power in the words of God. There's creative power in the words we speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Don't minimize the power of words. Some of you, as Rita shared the other night, had words spoken over you that were not wholesome and healthy. Maybe they weren't even intended to be a curse to you, but somebody might have said, why can't you ever be as smart as your brother? Or you'll never amount to anything. You know, just casually throwing those things out. But if you get those arrows stuck in you enough, they begin to form patterns in your brain, and you start telling yourself, I'll never amount to anything. You'll be like Eeyore. Nobody likes me. Yeah, y'all can have fun on the Cape, but, you know, it's my lot. And so I just want, just a quick aside, to be careful what you speak and start proclaiming words of faith. I'm not talking about being religiously unrealistic. How are you? Oh, I'm fine, praise the Lord. Really? Maybe you could say, well, it's a little tough right now, but I know that God is faithful. That's a true statement. So anyway, I just want you to realize there's power in the word. So God spoke, but then comes time for him to make his crowning creation, man. God could have said, let there be Adam and Eve, and it would have happened. But God wanted to show us, I believe, how lovingly and intimately involved he wants to be in our lives. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed mankind out of the dust of the earth and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And over in Genesis 1:26, it says, I'm sorry, 28, after he made them male and female, God blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Dr. Miles Monroe gives us the definition of the word Eden. You see, everything that's created has an ideal environment. A fish was made to thrive in the sea. A plant was made to thrive, in most cases, in the soil with the light and the rain. And if you take something out of its ideal environment, it can't fulfill its purpose. A fish is designed to bring forth more fish, to show the beauty and creativity of God for many, many reasons. For food. But if you take a fish out of its ideal environment, the sea, it flops around, it begins to malfunction. If it's not restored to its ideal environment, it dies. A plant taken out of the soil, if you don't replant it, if you don't put it back in its ideal environment, it eventually withers and dies. Well, man, you, me, we have an ideal environment. It's Eden. Eden is made up of symbols in the Hebrew, and each symbol is like Chinese writing. Each symbol means something in particular, and the symbols that make up the word Eden mean this. You might want to write this down. Eden is a spot or place for the moment where there's an open door to the delightful heavenly presence of God. I'll say that again. Eden is a spot or place for the moment. God is I am. He's God right now. Now, he always was and he always will be, but his name is I am. Sometimes we put off living. We don't live in the present. We're either thinking about the past, either with fondness or regret, or we're looking forward to the future. I want to learn how to be present in his presence in the present. Eden, a spot for the moment where there's an open door, access. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says his body, the veil was torn in two. The veil that separated us from the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And now, by the blood of Jesus, as you've heard Bob Sorge here talk about, we have boldness to enter into the very throne room of God and live in his presence. But better news than that, because of that same blood, because of the Holy Spirit, we actually can live in the presence of God, and the presence of God lives in us. In other words, we are Eden through the Spirit of God. And access into the delightful heavenly presence of God. And God said, take this place of communion, of relationship, of access, and extend it. Let this garden fill, this place of my presence fill the whole earth. Jesus reiterated that when he said in Matthew 28, go into all the world, preach the good news to every creature. The mandate that God gave Adam and Eve that we temporarily forfeited through sin has been revived and restored to us by the man, Christ Jesus. Yes, he was the Son of God, but as we sang this morning, he was also the Son of Man. That's good news for us. Do you know that when Jesus came and born through the Virgin Mary, he became man forever? He will never cease being man. He will always be God. Can I get an amen, theologians? He didn't stop being God when he was born of Mary, but the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He laid aside his ability to operate out of his divinity and took upon himself the form of man, the form of a servant, and he was totally dependent on his Father. Jesus himself said, of my own self, I can do nothing. Well, if Jesus can't do anything by himself, don't you think we can't do anything by ourselves? That's the whole point. He was showing us how to live as men and women, totally dependent on the Spirit of God. He said, as the Father lives in me, I only do what I see the Father doing. The Father in me does the works. Even so, church in Cape Cod, I send you to live not in your own strength, but totally dependent on me. You see, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful God. How many of you saw The Lion King? Either the play or the good. Simba was the lion cub, and he was destined to take the place of his father, who's Mufasa. One time I called him Mustafa, and Rita's never let me forget it, so I hesitate every time I say the name now. I think, is it Mustafa? No, it's Mufasa. Mufasa was the Lion King, and he ruled the jungle benevolently. Simba was his son and was destined to take the throne of his father. Destined to be the Lion King. But there was a wicked Uncle Scar that lied to Simba and lured him into a place of danger, knowing that Mufasa would try to rescue Simba. And Scar was hoping Mufasa would be killed and Scar could take over. Well, that's exactly what happened. And Simba thought that he had caused the death of his father, and he became afraid and ashamed. Believing a lie, fear, and shame will cause us to run away from our calling, run away from our destiny. But thank God that's not the end of the story. Simba went out into the jungle, hung out with Timon and Pumbaa, Hakuna Matata, it's our problem free. And they partied for a while, and it was cool. But then there came a famine in the land. Not only that, Simba began to grow up. And he knew something was missing, and he wanted to go home, but he was still afraid, and he was still ashamed. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ took our shame. We don't have to live with our heads down. We can stand free and forgiven by the grace of God and lift up our heads. So after a while, partying in the jungle wasn't enough. There was something missing. And Simba wanted to go home, but he was afraid. But then one night, he heard the voice of his father speak from the heavens, saying two very profound things that I believe God is speaking to his church at large today. The first thing that Mufasa said from the heavens, the father said from the heavens, is, "You've forgotten who you are, and you've forgotten me." The second thing he said, not in a shaming way, but in an empowering way, the voice of the Father said this, "You are more than you've become." I just now got that song today. You make everything glorious, and you made me. So that makes me glorious because of Christ in me. Boy, that freaks us out. That makes the religiosity in us think, oh, that's prideful. No, that's accurate. Obviously, the credit and the glory and the honor goes all to God. I didn't make myself, but he made me and he made you, and you make everything glorious. You see, when we realize that we're a new creation, we start to learn that by the grace of God, as we're filled with the Word and the Spirit, we can live in the presence of God, and the presence of God can live in us. And when we go to the grocery store, we can smile in the Holy Ghost. Maybe not even say a word, and there's something different about you. What is it? They're going to ask one day, and you can say, I've had an encounter with the living God. So Simba went home, overthrew the enemy, quit believing the lies, and he became the Lion King. Now let's sing the circle of life. So I just want you to know, say this after me, in Christ, I see the invisible. I hear the inaudible. I hold the intangible. I declare the unspeakable. I explore the unsearchable. And I do the impossible. Now that you know what you're going to say it again. In Christ, we see the invisible. We hear the inaudible. We hold the intangible. We declare the unspeakable. We do the impossible and explore the unsearchable. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. I'd like Rita to come now. We're gonna share a song we want you to sing with us called "I Rest in You," and you can use that. Let's welcome Rita. What a blessing. And as she comes, I have some instrumental new CDs on the back table and also some vocal CDs. They're very reasonably priced, and it's a way for our ministry to be ongoing to you and also to help us keep doing what we do. And so delightful to be with you, and looking forward to the youth meeting this afternoon too. Amen.